His love.
You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Right, exactly. And that's how Jesus became the forerunner, because as one of the members of the, one of the persons of God, he became a man, walked the walk all the way out, and showed what and forged out God's DNA in a human being. God's DNA is in Jesus Christ, the human being, and that is what he has to transmit to you.
Now, we have these booklets. These are really neat booklets that you created. Now, okay, so the author's name is Eric Mumford. That's who we're talking with today right here. And you have a whole grouping. Let me just show the people these. You'll see them here. See?
Yeah, series.
All these series. Mm-hmm. And I love the small talk. People are in a rush in today's world, so you can... These are readable. They're broken up. You know, it's just like... See? Now, do you have a website where people can buy these?
How
do we find...
That is... this is my dad's ministry, and it's called Life Changers. So you go to www.lifechangers.org. Is where
LifeChangers.org.
And
easy,
it's all
to
one
remember.
Word, yes.
LifeChangers.org.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in the... So the laboratory, the way... I mean, as far as my own participation and what God had for me to do, he wanted me to work these out, to produce these in the laboratory of fathering his children in foreign nations that were rough. You get it? And that's what I did. But that's not the end. God's wanting me to now, having matured in these themes and understanding them, he's wanting me to rewrite this, which is what I'm about to do. And I'm going to write God Magnified as a daily reading thing. All of the
material. Edible bites.
Correct. Because that's where we are in this modern age, you see?
Edible bites.
Edible bites. So that's what I'm going to be. So, you know.
Because even this can be overwhelming. And, you know, you are an intellect. And so you have to be, you know, the uncreated Holy Son of God was incarnated. That is the seed. But see, I'm a people person. I would much rather talk with you.
Correct.
Now, I'm going to bump into this. And, you know, God's antidote and the person of the Son of whom the eros-free, fusible DNA of holiness is contained. There are some concepts in here you got to get a hold of.
There
in
are.
Order to, because otherwise you're going to bump along here. Agape is regenerative and generous. Gen-E-ros.
Yeah. Gene.
Gene-E-ros. Agape love broken, ugly, desolate things in a regenerative way, seeking to spend itself to make them beautiful because they are the object of its love.
Yes.
Oh, that's got to be difficult.
It's
to
real. But it's real.
You're having fun doing it.
It's real. I've been to 72 nations of the world. I've been a missionary. And I have seen a lot of things. And I can just tell you that I believe this triune, I call it triune agape, because the God is a trinity. And they would have to be a trinity, because agape, if God was only a solitary being, God would be eros, because the only person he would have to love was himself before anything was even met. You get it? But God is a relationship.
Yes.
God is a relationship of three persons.
Relationship.
And they couldn't be agape if it wasn't the Trinity. And they love one, and then they wanted to include us. There's a powerful picture, 15th century icon of Rublev, a Russian guy, Rublev, and he drew the Trinity, the three of them sitting around a table. But there's an open space there, a seat available that is for you and for me and for anyone listening. They want to draw you, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit, want to draw you into their own fellowship, into all that they have shared. It's more generous than you think. It's very powerful.
Well, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard,
correct,
neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
It's very beautiful.
When I was first birthed, I never believed in Jesus. And then all of a sudden I get born again, now I believe in Jesus.
Okay.
Now, this is one of the rare times I woke up in the night, sat up in bed with my eyes open.
Yeah.
And I'm traveling through space.
Yes.
All these stars are going by me.
Wow.
Oh, this is wonderful, Lord. And all of a sudden, one star remained, and they all disappeared, and then a cross formed around a cross formed, mm-hmm. and then a key formed around the cross, mm-hmm. and then it all disappeared.
Okay.
And I said, what does this mean? The cross is the key.
Is the key.
To eternity.
Yeah, it is. And the cross is simply the foremost illustration of agape, sacrificial, self-giving, and self-sharing love. But more than that, Rhett, because for the Father, it really wasn't even, it was worse, because for God the Father, it was sacrificial, son-sharing love. He had to watch that be done to his own son. And the son was where he lived. And for the Holy Spirit, the son was where they lived. They became homeless in his death. You get it? All right, so when Jesus was baptized in the river by John the Baptist, yes. It says the Spirit came down on him like a dove and and remained on him.
Yes.
That was where the Spirit wanted to live.
Yes.
You get it? Or you get it?
Yep.
And the Father was also inhabiting.
This is my son.
His own son. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's right here. Okay? And it's not that it's me. It's that he has chosen to inhabit me. They dwell in one another in fusion. So then when Jesus says, he prays before going to the cross and says to the Father that they may all be one, John, Peter, you know, all the disciples, even the women, that they may all be one, even as we are one. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
The Son, the Father, the Spirit, the way we are one. That is salvation. That is what they wanted to restore to us, is the fellowship of being in that oneness.
What do you think they were doing for all eternity before they decided to create us?
I don't know. And there are more things to learn.
You wanna rattle you wanna rattle your own cage?
Isn't it?
I'm in the shower one day and I went, does God ever ask, how did I get here? Because if God if God did not exist, where would we not be?
Right.
If nothing existed, where would nothing be?
Yeah.
How can this be?
Yes.
This is wild and weird.
I know.
This whole thing is just crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
And he's a crazy God in a positive way. I hope it doesn't take offense at this, but I mean, you know, anybody that makes a horse with stripes?
Yes.
A zebra?
Right.
Or how about those weird fish? How about this? There's what do you call those, zeels? What are they called in the ocean? They're electric.
Oh, eels.
Electric.
Yeah.
And you can they'll die. The predators will die. They'll get a shock.
Yeah. And die.
How the heck did he do that? Look at the chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chameleon in this right now here. There's wood here. We have a wood counter here.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the chameleon on the wood, he'll turn the color of the wood. You put the chameleon on this black thing right here, turn black.
Mm-hmm.
You put them on this red thing, they turn red.
Yeah.
How in the world? Yeah. Come on. That's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
People should be jumping up and down that there's a chameleon.
Yeah.
We have pufffish, we have flatfish, we have skinny fish, we have fish down that are down, what do they call, bioluminescence, what are they called? The ones that are, they shine like a light bulb down underneath the ocean.
And the diversity. Because really what the kingdom of God is about is diversity in oneness. That's what it's about. And all that you're describing is all the, what I call ingenuity. Ingenuity is a creativity, but it has gene as its root word. So there's a generosity and ingenuity, this creative thing of creating all of these sea creatures and all of this stuff for us to see. Like being out on the savannah in Africa was gorgeous. The families of giraffes walking, and the zebras, all that you're talking about, you know. And I scuba dived in the Red Sea, and you know, seen so many things. And that is the creative ingenuity of God.
I was in Eilat by the Red Sea. Were you there?
Eilat. I don't remember what the town was.
Called Eilat, and it was the sun was so bright. I laid in the sun all day, and it turned into a lobster.
It
was horrible. I got a terrible burn.
Rat. Bummer.
But if you go to Israel, folks, somebody warned me: the biggest, tallest bottles of water you can get a minimum of six a day because it's an arid environment, quote unquote, arid environment, and you are being dehydrated without even knowing.
Right. It's true.
Have you been more than once?
I have been several times to Israel. I've only
been once to shoot a music video there for my song, The Empty Tomb.
Yeah, I sure have. And I loved it and loved the Jewish people. And yeah.
It's kind of wild to walk where the Lord walked, you know.
Yes.
The odd thing about it is, in reality, he's as much here in Vero Beach, Florida, as he is in Jerusalem.
Right.
But it does seem to be a sacred ground because he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for I shall bless them that bless thee.
Right. And Jesus sits on the throne of David. You see, that's the whole, there's a lot to this. And I'll tell you, if there's any like overt proof of the reality and the truth of the scriptures, it's the fact that anti-Semitism has never been worse than it is today.
Which really glorifies God, because there's 1.8 million, Muslims.
Correct.
There's 1.5 billion Christians. And yet who do they pick on? There's only 14 million little Jews in the world. And yet all this little teeny tiny land, and they all...
It's an enmity, and it's jealousy and envy.
Are you part Jewish?
No.
Okay. Because I have a Jewish friend up in Albany, New York. Matter of fact, he'll be flying in with his wife soon.
And, but they carried the
Howie. You look like
promise.
Howie. You look like my friend Howie Schaefer.
Yeah. They carried the promise, and you know, and then you have study Romans to understand them, it being delayed so that the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, could come into an understanding.
Yeah.
And then Israel will.
When I was,
and I believe
when
that.
I was kind of homeless or whatever, and I was 13 years of age, walking the streets of Poughkeepsie, maybe I was 14 at this time.
Yeah,
I used to walk with this Hasidic Jew named Alan.
Yeah,
and he had the black hat, the black coat, the black jacket, the Davidic curls, the David curls, the Davidic curls.
Yes,
and I would walk and talk with him. I don't know what we discussed, because I certainly was no intellect at all at 14.
Sure.
But I said, if I ever grow up to be any religion, I want to be Jewish.
Yes.
That's what I would tell him.
Yes.
Well, I guess as it turned out, that's what happened, because all the followers of Jesus, all the disciples were Jewish.
Yes, they were.
And so, in
and
fact,
Jesus
we
himself.
Are engrafted in. So do we become Jews once we're engrafted in?
Well, we become a part of that promise, you know, because... Abraham is the father of the family.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Abides with us still.